Today's title is The Ordering of God, and it's really kind of profound how yesterday in Truth, the Truth Project, it's just falling into line. Turn to Psalms 37, verse 23. We're going to use this as our springboard today. Again, the title of this service is, or message is, The Ordering of God. Psalm 37:23. I'm reading out of New King James, and then I'm going to give you a New Living Translation right after that, so bear with me. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The New Living Translation says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. We have been talking about breaking. We've been talking about the need for us to be broken. Today I'm going to talk about this process in a little bit different way. We know the process. If we've been paying attention to what God's been doing in our lives, we understand, or should be coming into a greater understanding as to what He requires of us in order to do His work in us. And God is so gracious to us that He is first trying to get us to a place of surrender. Okay? When we came to Jesus Christ, He finally worked in such a way that we finally said, yes, Lord. Most of us didn't just go to a church service and said, yeah, you know what, I think that's a great idea. I think I'm going to go down here and give my life to Jesus. I wasn't like that. Mine was a supernatural experience. I realized it was God who saved me and saved my family. And because He saved me and saved my family from death, really, I figured the best I could do was offer that life back to Him. And I committed myself to Jesus Christ. And that was over 25 years ago to really begin to walk with God. And I really appreciate Him saving my family and saving me to be of some service to God's people and to His kingdom. God is after breaking our will. He is not after breaking our spirit. He wants to release our spirit. And that is probably the hardest thing for us to understand. And so what God is trying to say here out of Psalms 37 is that He orders the footsteps of a good man or a righteous man. We don't come to God righteous. He makes us righteous. Okay? And this process requires several things of us. But He is going to do what He needs to do to get you in line with His will. You see, He has a greater plan for your life than you really realize. And that plan is not for us to be pew sitters. It is not for us to be bench warmers. It is not for us to say, well, someone else has got it. God's will is for all of us to participate in what He's doing, in some greater and some lesser than others, but He wants us all participating. And the great deception that Satan has done is he has told us that someone else is going to do it. But when we think that someone else is going to do it, nobody ever shows up, and therefore nothing ever really gets accomplished. It's God's plan to bring about righteousness. And when He does that, and when we finally yield to Him, He delights in every detail of our lives, because our lives then reflect Him. And that's what's so beautiful about what Jesse was sharing about the Truth Project, is that we should be reflecting the very nature and character of God in everything that we are and everything that we do. Our lives should reflect the best. Our homes should reflect the kingdom in every aspect. That means that, you know, you can have a home and yet it's still not be godly. And God will work on us. I remember the time when God was first starting to deal with me, and Irene would say to me, I need you to do the dishes. And I'd say, oh, you're not going to turn me into some Susie homemaker as I'm doing the dishes. Eventually, what you realize is this is a team effort, and that if I want to be the Lord of my house, I must learn to serve those in my house first. Because only by that example does people really realize that there's a reality to what you are preaching by what you're living. So what's the first step? The first step is for us to consecrate ourselves. So what's consecration? I can't hear. I only got one good ear. Yeah, setting apart ourselves for God's purpose. It's a process called sanctification. When we tell God, I'm going to consecrate myself to this process, we are actually really saying to God, I surrender my will to you. Do what you want. And the funny thing is, God does. He's going to do it whether you want it or not. But it's a lot easier with us coming along, Him holding our hands, than Him dragging us along, kicking and screaming. And that tends to be my way of doing things. I tend to go along kicking and screaming. I don't want to do this, Daddy. I just don't want to do it. But consecration is really revealing our heart to God. When I say I'm going to consecrate myself to walk in this thing, what I am saying is, God, I am free to allow you to order my life. I am free to allow you to direct my path in which will bring you glory and honor. Now that may take several years, as it did for me. It may take you less time. But the bottom line is you don't stop consecrating your life. Once you consecrate your life to God, it's forever. Because that is the actual surrendering that you make, that you nail yourself on the cross of Jesus Christ, and now God is about to break your will. And that's what He's after. Being stubborn and stiff-necked, and you can see it through the scriptures, when God got really bent out of shape at Israel, He would say through the prophets, you rotten, stiff-necked people, your hard-heartedness, you don't listen to me, you go after whatever you want to do, and you follow after false idols and this and that. And what God was saying is, you know, you tell me one thing, and you do something else. Anybody ever do that? All of us should have our hands up. All of us, you know, we're not that super spiritual. And if we're saying that we are, then we're lying, and we'll cast that spirit out of you in a minute. But the truth of it is none of us really realize how deep this commitment of consecration is going to require of us. And so God wants us to begin to understand that He will do whatever He needs to do to break our will, to release our spirit for what purpose? To control the desires of our flesh and to re-educate our souls. You see, our flesh is not going to inhabit the kingdom of God when we leave here. Our spirit and our soul is what's going to go on, and God is going to place us into a resurrected body without any kind of sin, without any kind of corruption, without anything. And so He is preparing us for that habitation. I mean, this should be very elementary to you guys, and you should understand that. But I'm trying to get you to understand that there is a process in which God wants us to have this. He will discipline us. The scripture says He disciplines those whom He loves. What we do is we rant around and cry and scream like God is doing something detrimental to us. And I'm always reminded of the times when I disciplined the kids and I told them, you know what, I'm going to spank you. And they would just go, ah! I never had to spank them, but they're already in the process, you know. Well, we do that too, right? Spiritually, we go around and say, oh God, go ahead, spank us. Oh, you're spanking me. That's not right. But the fact of the matter is, He loves us so much that He will spank us to bring us into a line to what He wants to do, so that the way that you walk, the way that you talk, is the way He is. We're to reflect Him, not ourselves any longer. What we have to understand is that this commitment to real heart change, our consecration is a real commitment to heart change. God is really about doing that. And He will discipline our flesh. He will discipline our soul for us to capitulate and move into His will. He demonstrates this by ever graciously ordering the circumstances of our lives through the decisions that we make, as good or as bad as they are. He will use those situations in order to break us. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 23 through 24, it says, "My God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." There's some interesting things here that we have to understand, is that first of all, God himself will sanctify us. Okay? He will cause us to go through this process of sanctification. Why? Because he wants to present our spirit, our soul, and our body blameless. Notice the order of it. Spirit, which is the most noblest part of our triunity. Then it's our soul, which is the re-education of our minds in order to start thinking like God thinks and start acting the way God acts. And that takes time. And the body. Eventually, as my spirit takes charge over my body, it will capitulate because my mind and my spirit are in unity, forcing my body to do the will of God. I no longer want to do the fleshly things that I did before. I want to do the things of God. And this is the ordering of God. God is ordering it in such a way that those things that you liked to do a year or two ago, you no longer find any fascination with. You no longer want to continue to do those things. So you lay those things down. They're childish things compared to what God wants to give to us. And so what happens is He is the one that is going to do these things. He's the light. He wants us to walk in the light as He's in the light. And as He does this, He's examining us in our heart attitudes. Do we just show up to church just to have pastor preach a message and then we continue living our lives? Well, you know what? Some people do. That doesn't negate the fact that God's going to work in your life. He's going to work. He's going to let you stew. He's going to do whatever He needs to do in order to bring you to a place to break your will. And that's the truth. And how does he do this? He uses the Holy Spirit in order to do that. Now, the interesting thing about what Jesus told us is that he had to leave to bring a comforter for us. And he told us that several things that the comforter was going to do. And one of them things that he said to us was that he was going to start a re-education process. He teaches all things, right? That may sound kind of communistic in that, you know, there's a re-education process amongst socialistic and communistic countries. They just put them in prison, and they let them stew, and they beat them, and they torture them in order to make them change their mind. God's not going to do that. As you're in the Word, as you're studying the Word, as you're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit uses the Word that you've already read or what you hear today and holds you accountable. And in that accountability, what He does, He begins to work on your spirit, in your spirit. Not according to the light of our understanding, but to the light that God has. You see, God has a higher purpose in everything that He does. And when we're not doing the things that God wants us to do, all of a sudden it seems like God takes our life and He pours everything out. Anybody ever have that happen to them? That happened to me a lot. That's why I'm pretty smart now. Because I wasn't smart in the early days. I thought I was doing right, but I wasn't. And so what he does, the Holy Spirit does, is he begins to start causing our lives to fall apart. And we're up there, we're crying to God, "What are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing here, God. You know, you should show me." Well, God doesn't have to tell you. And this is where, you know, the guys, when we were meeting for discipleship, I would tell you, walk by faith. Understanding will come, but you got to walk this thing out by faith. You got to believe that God is going to change your scenario, change your mind, by working in your situation. And then your faith will come alive when you begin to understand what he's doing. You see, what he's trying to do is break down our will so that more light can come in, so our spirits can be released to control our flesh to do the will of God. Remember the real simple way I've said to you guys? God speaks to my spirit and enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do the will of God. It's the simplest process to speak about, but it's the hardest to live through. And that's how He works in us. He wants us to learn about Him and learn His processes so that when others are going through it, we would know how to pray for them. We would know how to encourage them. We would know how to walk with them going through this process so that they could be better equipped for what God wants them to do. But what we do is when we're not in the Word, when we're not doing the things that God is telling us that we should be doing, all of a sudden Satan brings up some old things that we used to like to do, and now we're at a place of decision making. What do? We always choose poorly. We go back to the things that God delivered us from the beginning, and now we're in bondage. This is what Jesus said, that for someone who go back, their condition is worse off than what it was at the beginning. Because now you're dealing not only with the one scenario, you've got other demons involved to keep you captured. I know, Pastor, I know it's tough, but I got a handle on it. You don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand what God's doing. You're going to destroy your life. You're going to destroy the life of your family. You're going to destroy the life of the church. Because now you have become the weakest link. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. What's bad is you think that you're in control. That's what's bad. That's the deception. And we constantly must remind ourselves that we're in a process here. We're going through something that God wants us to do. And sometimes we hit a lull in the thing. And I say that's the most dangerous time. Because I'm constantly looking around. What are you doing, God? Why do I have all this peace? I'm so used to turmoil and stuff going on in my life that when I have reached a plateau, I'm like, no more demons to attack, no more sin issues that's in my life that I have to deal with. The fact of the matter is, we all need rest. We all need rest in the Lord. We must remind ourselves that no matter what we find ourselves in, going through this process, God always has our highest good. He doesn't allow us to go through something just to make us go through something. It's always to a finished product. It's always to bring the best out of us. It's always to manifest His goodness and His grace in our lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, or some say reasonable service. God's not asking us to do something that's unreasonable. This is reasonable, that you die, that I die to my wants, my will, and begin to conform to His will and what He wants done. And a little bit of things that we go through, we cry like little babies. But there are brothers and sisters that are suffering far worse situations and scenarios than we could ever ask or imagine. And for one who's been to the mission field a couple times, I have to tell you, I laugh at people when they don't want things done in their lives. They don't surrender those things in their lives. These people are getting their heads whacked. They're being shot just because of who they believe in, not because they've done anything wrong. You see, this world hates God and hates those who follow after Him. And you have to begin to start cultivating a mindset that you are an enemy of this world. And every time that we do things just like the world, we become more like the world. And that's why I say you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore in this country, in a lot of countries. Because we got so much world in us that it's a battle for me to just start preaching Bible. And so, to get back to that standard, I really have to look at the heart and soul of the people that God is trying to reach in order to help them understand the severity of our situation. Well, I'm just living, God knows my heart. Yeah, it's desperately wicked. But He also knows that, He saved me and I'm going to heaven. Are you staying there? I've told you all of you are going to be there, but are all of us going to stay there? Jesus said, you know, examine yourselves and see if you are worthy of the gospel. Are you worthy? And my understanding of being worthy is not only going through the process, but doing the things that God has told us to do to the best. To the best. Not to the least. We have to get out of this mindset that we're just tenants and renters in this property that we call earth. And we need to make every situation that we're in reflecting heaven. Jesus said there's no dust, no moth, no thieves up there. What's our house look like? Do we think on good things, or are we constantly suspect of people's intentions? Do we invite people to our houses, or do we just like, no big deal? We should be doing things as if, as Nick says, as if those people are our brothers and sisters that are in prison already. We have people in our families that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard us flapping our lips, but they have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they see is they don't want it, because they see something contrary to the knowledge that they already have. God wants to destroy our will so that He can be exalted. That's what He wants to do. And one of the things we see that once we truly consecrate ourselves, is our flesh and our spirit is in this conflict. Paul said it so beautifully and so confusingly. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, but I want to do the things that I don't do. But, you know, I continue to want to do the things that I can't do, but who's going to deliver me from this process? Thank God be it Jesus Christ. We're constantly in this. And until we finally get to the place of yielding ourselves once and for all to God and let Him deal with us, we are going to be suffering our bondages more and more. And God is about to clean the sin out of our lives, whether you understand it or not. We gave Him permission when we said, yes, Lord. And He will be doing what He said He's going to do. Faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. He called you so that He can order your footsteps so that you would be righteous for His kingdom. Not for you to continue to do what you think you're right. And you can. But there are severe consequences to that. Eternal consequences. And I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to get you to understand the process that all of us are going through, and not to retreat from that, but to embrace it. Embrace what God's doing. Understand that God is going to allow the pressure of our lives, the decisions that we make, to come and fall upon us. Simultaneously, the Holy Spirit is going to work with a pressure on the inside to break our will. And we can either do it His way or our way. Do it soft and have that breaking take a graduation to it. Or what we tend to do, and I'm one of them, snap, all of a sudden, I'm broken. I'm out of control. I realize I can't make the decisions anymore. I am at my wit's end. I am frustrated to know it. And I just put my hands up to God and say, do it. Do what you got to do. This leads us to God's dealings. God deals with us as His children. And He's faithful to deal with our sin and our bondages that we want to hold on to. He's faithful to deal with that. But if you want to go to a restaurant and eat fine food and all, but your appetite is for cheeseburgers and all kind of other greasy food, it's no good for you. He's inviting us to come to His table to eat good things. That our spirits can be built up in good things. God will use people in our situations. He will use people that annoy us. He will use people that hate us. He will use people that frustrate the daylights out of us to accomplish His will, to break us. But He will use the people we love the most to break us even more, because we're more sensitive to those that we love. He does this all to show us how convoluted our lives are, how far away we are from God. He shows us how much light we have, and really the light that we have, or the understanding of God we have, is like pitch black. Think about it. How much light has God given to you, and how much of it are you walking in? Generally, you're not walking in it is because you're trying to comprehend what God's doing. You're not moving by faith. And so what happens is you revert back to what is comfortable to you, not paying attention that God is trying to break the darkness to give you more light, more understanding. And as long as you stay in the darkness, He's going to deal with you until you come into His light. Because He's ordering your footsteps. He's planning your life. He's directing it so that He can look at your life and delight in what you're becoming. You see, you don't see the finished product. God sees the finished product, and He's trying to get us to that point. And all He's doing is preparing us for eternity. Remember I said the world's our classroom, the book, the Bible is our textbook, and our lives is what He's going to use. I mean, I said that way back when, but we should never tire of that. God wants to bring this discipline into our lives to make us more dependent upon Him, because the more we're dependent upon Him, the greater our faith becomes, because we're trusting in what He's doing. Faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. You cannot do this. You cannot do what God has promised to do. But in some insane and inane way, we think we can. That's called religion. When we try to discipline ourselves to things, the thing I have found out in myself is the more I try to discipline myself, the more rebellious I become. It's quite the opposite when I yield myself to God and trust in His finished work. All I have to do is learn to die on a cross and leave it there. You see, too many of us are stuck at the cross and we're looking at our past. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know, I've really had a bad childhood. Okay. What's that got to do with the cross? Well, I'm trying to identify myself. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. Find out who you are in Christ. That life that you had before is now gone. It's under the blood. It's dead. You have been set free. Well, why do you look at the past? When you look at the past, you have no future. God has given us a future and a hope. Where's your hope? It can't be in the past that you can't change, so forget about it. Lay it at the cross, leave it at the cross, and move on. God will use our failures to complete His work. And we're afraid that our failures will expose us. But the problem is, you know what? That's your pride. Embrace your failures. Learn from them and move on. Because God is about giving us a hope, a future, to prosper us. How are you prospering when you're still holding on to the old stuff? Remember I said, you know, as long as you're holding on to the old stuff, you can't receive anything more from God. And God has so much He wants to give to you, to your family, to touch your lives, to give to other people, that here we are, we're still holding on to junk that shouldn't be even in our hands, let alone left in our memories. But we are. Why? Because we like sin. I love God, but I like sin. And it's a battle. It's a battle. And when you capitulate to sin, you lost the battle. When you capitulate to God, you become strengthened, you become built up, you become strong. You start speaking words of faith. You start seeing the impossible as possible. You start pronouncing things that aren't as though they were. All of a sudden you're becoming righteous like God. And you put on Jesus Christ and you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Your life changes. Your attitude changes. Your direction changes. You're no longer a poverty person. You see the richness in God. You become a regal person. You become a warrior in Jesus Christ. You fight the good fight of faith. We go into battle and we leave our armor all over the place. Just like our homes. A mess. My mother-in-law used to say, she used to say to us when things weren't going well with her, or she didn't understand some of the American habits, she says, "I'm just a mess." And I borrowed it from her. Because I'm a mess. Without Jesus Christ, I am a mess. I am lost. At best, I need Jesus Christ. I need Him. I need to be more like Him. I need to understand Him. I need to go through this process of sanctification so I can become more like Him. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to do the things like the world. That didn't bring me anything but heartache and desperation. It left me empty. And loveless. But it made me selfish and self-centered. You guys are going through stuff and you're pretending that everything is okay. God knows. Everything's not hunky-dory. God knows. We want everything that the world has to offer, yet we're not willing to pay the price for what God wants to freely give us. He tells us out of Matthew 6:33 to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to work for them. They'll be given to you freely. But you will have to work. I can't work at your salvation in fear and trembling. Only you can. I have enough problems of my own, but I've been smart enough to hand them over to Him who solves them all, who has delivered me from everything. Isn't it about time that we begin to start growing up so that we can start growing out and affecting people's lives? Isn't it about time we start praising God with an open mouth by the way we live? Not preaching the gospel at people, but living the gospel in front of them. The old saying is still true. They don't want to hear what you have to say until they see how much you care. And if all you care about is speaking great platitudes and all, Jesus said, every idle word, hear me, church, every idle word you will be judged for. That idle word that He's talking about is, do you flap your lips and talk about the gospel, but you have no intention to live it? That's what you're going to be judged on. And I'll tell you what, I don't want Him to say, Gary, you just flapped your lips. You didn't live according to what I have set for you. I don't want that set of me. I don't want that set of you guys. I want us to go when we get there and hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We've messed up. Even from men's yesterday, I admit it. I messed up as a father. I had no instruction. I didn't have godly mentors and examples before me. But I say to my kids all the time, and I say to you guys, I want you to be better than me. And I appreciate the love that you guys show me and you cover me in those areas of weakness that I have. And it works the other way too. Whether you understand it or not, I do cover you guys. But it's up to you guys now to take that step. To consecrate yourselves. And allow this process to break your will. Once and for all. To be yours. So that you can say, my Jesus. He's my Jesus. You don't want pastor's Jesus. You want your Jesus. Floor is open for prayer. For those who want prayer.